Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
This might be news to you, but you do not need a subscription to the Wall Street Journal to learn about the stock market. Instead, people are finding free advice online on tech platforms like Twitter and TikTok and Reddit. It's easier than ever also to take that information and buy and sell stocks online with apps like Robinhood. Playing the stock market isn't an exclusive activity for the rich, and these resources are making it easier to play along, but at a cost. Emily Stewart is a business reporter for Vox who's been following this trend. Hey, Emily.
Hi, Teddy.
So you recently reported on investment advice going viral on TikTok. I've seen some of these myself in my scrolling days. What kind of information are people finding and sharing on TikTok?
I mean, it really kind of runs the gamut. Although some of it's, you know, from mortgage advice to stock picks to, I mean, really anything, whether it's kind of personal finance type stuff or just like how to play the stock market. Mm-hmm. Like, it is good to a certain extent, right, that people are getting into finance and trying to understand like what's going on with their money. But it's also, you know, like you need to do your research, right? And what you find sometimes it's just like, sometimes it's blatant scams, right? A little bit dubious. Somebody's selling you a financial product, but you don't completely realize that that was what they're doing. And I think regardless, like you shouldn't be taking stock advice from a 60-second video and nothing else.
Right. And no one's moderating this or fact-checking this. This is the Wild West, people uploading stuff to hashtag stock talk and you watch it and you see how it goes.
Yeah, right. Like this is anybody can put anything.
And I imagine there are some examples of people getting pretty burned by this, right?
There aren't necessarily like a ton of like huge big examples of people like losing a ton of money specifically because of TikTok. But like you start to see stories come out and it's kind of the same story over mm-hmm. and over again where somebody gets into trading and they're getting advice from TikTok or maybe from Reddit or maybe from Twitter or Discord. And they're lucky at first and they start to think like, oh, man, I'm an investment genius. And they get bolder. You know, they think that they really know what they're doing. And then people sometimes get wiped out.
Yeah. And has this gotten worse during the pandemic just because people are at home? Maybe, you know, obviously TikTok usage is way up. Tell me about like the moment in time.
Yeah. So if you think back to March, right, a couple of things happen, kind of creating this perfect storm. Pandemic sets in, people are sitting at home. The stock market also took a really big dive.
Yeah.
And kind of the advice that you'll hear from investment type people is like, buy the dip, right? We've all heard that. And so people bought the dip.
Buy the dip, meaning when the stock market is down, is a good time to buy.
Right. It's a good time to buy. It's not a good time to sell, basically. Like, don't sell when you've lost, you know, when your stock is way down. So, yeah.
Sure, sure.
And so there are people at home and, like, people also are spending less because, like, you can't go out to dinner. Mm-hmm. A lot of people also got stimulus checks. And, like, for some people, that was discretionary income. And so.
Right, right, right.
You know, it's kind of like a thing where you start to see more of it, like, online. You start to talk with your friends about it. And again, like I said before, it's a bull market, so it's been a really good time to invest. Like, if you put money in the market in March and April, yeah, you probably made money.
And the other factor here is it's just gotten easier and in some ways even fun to play along, right? You don't have to call a stockbroker and understand all these complicated things and go through all this bureaucracy of the financial system, largely due to Robinhood, right, which is an app that people can use to buy and sell stock from their phones. So you can go pretty quickly from, you know, watching the TikTok to buying the stock. Tell me about Robinhood and just how it became so popular.
Yeah, so Robinhood is a stock trading app, basically. It's been around for a bit, but what's unique about Robinhood is that they do commission-free trading, right? So I can buy and sell Tesla, Apple, Google, whatever stock, and it doesn't charge me money. And the other platforms, like the Fidelities of the world, have followed them. But Robinhood also makes trading kind of feel like gambling in a way. They will tell you that their app is not gamified. You download the app, it feels like a game. It doesn't feel real almost. Like, it sends you confetti when you sell a stock. Like, So it feels like you're gambling. And they have gotten into some trouble with this, and there have been some criticism because it's easy when you are just a regular person to not realize kind of what you're doing. And they've also been criticized because sometimes they're really kind of allowing people and maybe even pushing people to take more risks. So one thing that they do is really open it up to options trading, which
What's that?
Is kind of, it's like a more complicated way of trading, but basically the thing to kind of know about it is that it's riskier, right? So basically you kind of bet whether a stock is going to go up and down, and it can be cheap, but it's also a way to lose a lot of money, and it's complex. And so what we saw over the summer last year was that there was a young man in Illinois who committed suicide because he thought he'd lost a lot of money on Robinhood trading options, and he hadn't.
Wow. So this is basically opening up all of these tricky ethical questions about what are the obligations of the casino, right? I mean, what are the obligations? In some ways, it mirrors the conversation about, like, you know, what content should be allowed on Facebook, right? I mean, these are weighty ethical questions that I'm guessing the founders of Robinhood weren't really anticipating, that they've become somewhat culpable for what happens on their platform.
Right. And what they'll tell you is that they are democratizing trading. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true to a certain extent, right? Like, in a world and in a country where wealth creation is difficult, why should these opportunities be closed off to everyday people? I think at the same time, you can see areas where maybe it's not exploitative, but it's certainly like pushing people in a direction that maybe they don't understand. And like, you know, the hope is that people are learning about finance and that they are making some money. But the scary thing is, like, what if somebody's betting with money that they can't afford to lose?
So all these people who are coming to Robinhood or to TikTok for financial advice or to execute on that financial advice, I mean, there's an element of virality to this, as you describe it. I'm wondering, like, how much power do these people have? Obviously, like, you know, you and I are aware that lots of Wall Street is dictated by analyst reports and by decisions made by big investment banks. There's sort of this class of retail investors that does this, you know, as novices. But now it feels like a lot of these retail investors are very young, right? These are millennials who are doing this. I'm wondering, like, what you think about the long-term impact, like stock trading, that TikTok or Reddit or Robinhood's going to have.
If you back up a little bit and think about the broader market, are these people really making big impacts on how the S&P 500 moves every day? No, they're not, right? But you do start to see that they have an effect on the margins and on really small stocks. So last year, a bunch of retail traders piled into Hertz, right? The car rental company. Hertz was bankrupt at the time. Like, that's not a good trade. But it's something that kind of got popular online and people started to do it. So last week, actually, we saw something really interesting happen with GameStop, which is the video game store that you see in the mall. Generally, it's been popular among short sellers, which basically means hedge funds, big investors that think it's worth less than the stock is right now. So they're betting against it. And GameStop has really started to take off on Reddit. And so little by little, there's been momentum gaining. And then last week, it's like it became a meme and the stock took off to the point that the stock exchange has had to halt trading on it multiple times. It's up more than 400% this year. And that's been driven by and large by retail traders, by people kind of piling in and then different mechanisms being triggered as they continue to pile in. And so this is the first time that we are really seeing them move en masse and like really, really move a company in a stock that matters.
You can follow Emily's reporting at Vox.com. Emily, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.